Hi, this is Willie Nelson. You're listening to Radical Free Speech Radio, KPFK, in Los Angeles.
Young love, a careless love, another summer flame. Always I sing your praise, but I don't wanna play your game. I'm way past grown, got my number on your little phone.
A young one like you
cuts right through.
A young one like you,
so
music from Bart Davenport here on KPFK 90.7 FM and Melting Pot from his 2008 record Palaces. The song you heard was A Young One, and the man himself is here in our studios. How are you doing, Bart?
I'm doing great, thanks.
It's really nice to have you in here. We were chatting about some things before we actually started this about how, even though we haven't actually like met, but we have like all these connections. That I was in the Bay Area for a fair amount of time and knew some of the people you also know quite well. And it even goes further back than that. I realized at some point, I don't remember when I realized this, but actually fairly recently, since I moved to Los Angeles, I realized that I've known your music and kind of known you as an artist for like 20 years now. Because back in 94, 95-ish, when I was in Atlanta, we got the CD for the Loved Ones, and Wishy Washy Woman was like one of my favorite songs and played it like tons of time on our blues show out there.
Man, it's such a shame we never got to Atlanta because we didn't even know.
Yeah.
Because in the early 90s, things were so regional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things were kind of, it was harder. Now in the digital age, it's kind of easier sometimes to know what's happening.
Yeah, and clearly easier for us to finally hook up and meet each other. I'm really, really glad that you're here in the studio. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Oh, well, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And you've got this new record, Physical World, which we're going to talk about, in addition to a few other things. And you've also brought a guitar. And so I was going to throw it over to you for a couple songs, if that's okay.
Sure thing.
Okay, so you're going to hear Bart Davenport right here performing live in our studios at KPFK and Melting Pot.
One, two, three, four. Hey, I'm sorry if I go too fast tonight. Let's pretend that this will last. I've got a dream you would like to sleep on too. Oh, I'm sorry to dwell on the past. Better say nothing at all. But I've got this friend who thinks he's in love with you, and it doesn't sum it up to say he's singing the blues. And whoever learned to walk in somebody else's shoes, he's screaming because he found something to lose. Living in Eden where apples are good, but every narrow miracle takes place on earth. Yeah, some militia have arrived and the percussion have come, and they're beating out messages loud on the drum. Have started that we are both young. Lions in my own garden exit someone. That's what a shout when you just stay out of reach. And it doesn't sum it up to say I'm singing the blues. And whoever learned to walk in somebody else's shoes, I'm screaming because I found something to lose. Yeah, it doesn't sum it up to say I'm singing the blues. And whoever learned to walk in somebody else's shoes, I'm screaming because I found something to lose. And I'm beating out messages loud on the drum. Have started that we are both young. Lions in my own garden exit someone. Steady hands reach out to you from all over the world. You wanna go where the traffic moves so slow. Lost in the wilderness of your imagination, looking for a heart that's beating just for you. Hidden away somewhere waiting for you. And just when you find what you've been dreaming of, there will be dust in the circuits, dust in the circuits, dust in the circuits of love. Long nights in work mode, mornings in shambles, and ironically a recurring theme connection. Never mind the network, trying to be someone that would appeal to you. Basically, your priority is you. just when you find what you've been dreaming of. There will be dust in the circuits, dust in the circuits, dust in the circuits of love. Suddenly there's a spark worth a question mark. Dreams are electric and so is your new lover. For the torn heart, he's a sewing machine. You're still reading every line in between. Just when you found what you were dreaming, dust in the circuits, dust in the circuits, dust in the circuits of love. Dust in the circuits of love, in the circuits of love, in the circuits of love. Dust circuits of love, in the circuits of love, in the circuits of love.
So you just heard a couple songs from Bart Davenport, one of his own, and then a cover at the start. What was up with the cover?
Oh, Prefab Sprout.
Uh-huh.
Lions in My Own Garden.
Why'd you choose that song?
I always like to start these kinds of things off with a cover just to kind of get warmed up and to show a little bit of the kinds of songs that I'm influenced by.
Mm-hmm.
So that one there by the Prefabs was definitely an influence on my stuff.
Okay. Now, as we were saying earlier, you know, you've been a musician, artist, recording artist for a fair amount of time now, but there might be people in the audience who are new to your music and new to hearing you. And I always like to, especially the first time, bring somebody in for an interview, just like to hear a little bit about your background and how you came into music. When did you start actually playing music?
I was singing in the, like, school choir. Age 9, mm-hmm. 10, and also I was in this strange kind of a Berkeley hippie circus troupe, and so that didn't involve just clown tricks like juggling and riding a unicycle, but it also included some singing. And I started playing guitar when I was about 8 years old, so music I started doing as a child, for okay. sure.
Was a circus related to the family? Was it a musical family you grew up in?
Oh, my dad was a bass player.
Okay.
In the 60s and 70s era. And when I was really small, I remembered him having rehearsals and doing gigs and recording sessions and stuff. But he had left music by the time I started in music professionally.
Mm-hmm.
But he definitely gave me that. I mean, I'm sure he bought me my first guitar.
At what point do you remember at what point you started actually writing songs?
I think I started trying when I was about 11.
Do you have any of those still?
No. I think I had one about Planet of the Apes.
That might not be too bad, actually. It's interesting to me in thinking about this long career, especially because, like, in thinking about, I have this, you know, kind of long history of hearing music from you and hearing all these different kind of styles and a variety of different kind of changes. It's almost like they're different Bart Davenports in some ways, that, you know, there's kind of a more 60s and mod kind of phase, and one that's maybe a little bit more soul inflected and a little bit more on the 70s side, a little bit more kind of softer kind of ballads and rock. There's like a lot of different styles that you've been involved in. And I was wondering if you do you feel like you have a particular kind of sound or a particular kind of style?
I think I do as a writer. Mm. I mean, anyone who's done, you know, any analyzation of my writing would hear lots of major seventh chords, which are, for non-musicians, that doesn't mean anything. But for people who play music who might have stopped to analyze the way I write, they'd hear a lot of recurring themes throughout my whole writing career. Even back to The Loved Ones, there was a couple of those songs that were hinting towards that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the influence of kind of pop, 60s pop songwriting, like Burt Bacharach, Carole King, some of the Motown writers, you know, that's that style, really. And then just as far as the way the songs are delivered and presented, yeah, it's been pretty eclectic, a mix of influences and kind of different types of production in the recording studio and things.
Mm-hmm.
For that, yeah, I feel like I have a lot of different voices, just kind of growing up with so many different influences, you know, and kind of always wanting to walk this line, you know, between the soul, R&B, blues world and rock music and folk music and all that. It's kind of why I always identified really strongly with Arthur Lee, because he was doing that too, in within songs even. And whenever I heard him, I always felt like I really could identify with his frame of mind, or at least my perceived idea of his twisted frame of mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, and, you know, as far as the thing of being sort of eclectic, where this like, oh, you did blues, you did folk, you did pop, you did this electro thing on the thing. It's just, I don't know, I've been around a long time. Of course, I should keep experimenting and trying different things and staying really engaged. I know that there's a certain mind frame where people are suspicious of that, where they feel as if it means that I don't have anything, that I'm just a chameleon. But that's just kind of a post-90s mentality or something. But really, because, you know, I'm a child of the 1970s, for me, people like Todd Rundgren or Paul McCartney, they were just doing that. Mm. And no one was giving them any trouble for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that kind of baffles me. I'm just a singer trying to express myself. I have a few different voices.
Mm.
I feel really fortunate to have more than one voice.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting kind of thing where, you know, individual, like you have a particular kind of sound, especially the kind of sound to your voice, but it, you know, it matches well with all these different genres. Kind of connected to that, one of the things that seems also kind of hallmark of your career has been collaboration with a lot of other types of people. It seems like the kind of, you know, like this kind of searching for different kinds of sounds also comes out of all these different types of musicians, different types of projects that you've been involved with as well. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about, you know, kind of either your approach to collaboration or why it seems like you seek out collaboration with all these different kinds of artists.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't know if I've had to try really, really hard to seek out collaboration. It just sort of happens. You make friends with people and you end up talking about, oh man, we should do something. So that is how that really happens most of the time. I really know that I benefited from it. You don't want to be isolated in your own little thing all the time. You want to be able to learn. Mm-hmm. And I think I've always learned everything I have from other people that I play with.
When you were talking about, you know, all these kind of different influences, and some of those influences certainly I think came out on the previous record where you did a number of covers, and it seemed like quite a few of them, I mean, there was a Arthur Lee and Love cover on there. Quite a few of them were kind of, you know, very much kind of paying tribute to inspirations. And a lot of almost all of your career, you spent it in the Bay Area. And it seems like it would seem like the Bay Area was a really big part of your identity. Some of the things you've already said here, a lot of kind of this very varied kind of musical background is very much connected to kind of growing up in the Bay Area and all mm-hmm. the music, different styles of music that are around in there, and the kind of freedom to explore a variety of different styles, which a lot of other scenes, you know, you just don't have. But now you're here in Los Angeles, and I was wondering about that move, because it seems like there have actually been quite a few Bay Area musicians kind of making that move down to Los Angeles. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the reasons why.
Well, there's an undeniable migration that's been happening for the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. And I definitely would say that I'm part of that. And anyone that wants to follow the stories can just go look up the press in the Bay Area because they're all acting like the sky is falling because some of the musicians that they have come to know or have left town. And they're blaming the tech boom and all this. And it's just a very loaded topic and one that I don't even know if I'm an authority on necessarily. But I'd say that in my case, I didn't actually leave the Bay because my rent was getting to be too high and I couldn't afford to stay. Mm-hmm. I didn't leave the Bay because there's too many techies and yuppies there now. I didn't leave the Bay for any other reason other than I just spent my whole life there and I was just seeking some change for a while. I just wanted a change of scenery. I wanted to go somewhere else and get some new influences and see some new things. And I was very drawn to Los Angeles because the music scene here is so great and because there is, it feels like both geographically and metaphorically, there just seems to be room to breathe here. Mm. And the Bay Area has gotten a bit crowded and tight. Mm. But I'll always love the Bay. I didn't really necessarily leave wholeheartedly. I mean, I go back there like every 6 weeks or something. And I play up there all the time.
Yeah.
And I still have all my friends up there. I try and see them and stay in touch. I mean, it's I'm as interested as anyone else in that whole debate about the changes that are happening in San Francisco in particular. I'm interested in that story, but I'm not really interested in voicing much of my opinion on what's going on because I just don't feel like I'm an authority on that. Mm. But it is interesting and it's undeniable that there is a huge migration that has happened and some people have been more outward about their reasons for going. I mean, just like I said, for me, it was just a personal choice. But I love both L.A., San Francisco. They're both great.
Yeah. Have you found, I mean, you've been living here in Los Angeles for like the last couple of years now, around then?
Yeah, I moved 2 years ago.
Okay. Was Physical World written down here or was it written up there, most of the songs?
I think about half and half.
Half and half. Did you feel like there was any kind of change all in your kind of songwriting or, you know, did the kind of move from the Bay down here, do you feel like that influenced things at all?
Yeah.
How so?
Well, lyrically, I just started writing about things that were happening.
Hmm.
And they were happening here.
Okay.
You're just using anything you can to tell a little story and have this little world that exists within the 3 minutes of the song.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it is fiction and some of it is nonfiction. Some of it is just words that sound pretty. It's just whatever it takes to paint the picture that you like.
Mm-hmm. How much of painting those pictures connects to, you know, your collaborators, the different people that you're painting with? Because it seems like the band that you have for this record and that you're primarily touring with, that band is mostly people who are from or based around here in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these different projects that you've had, they have kind of like a very – like a particular kind of identity that seemed to connect with the players in some ways. And the players change a lot of times from record to record. And so I was wondering how much of, you know, coming into contact with the particular people who you make music with right now, how much of that influenced the sound of Physical World?
So very much.
Yeah?
Yeah, this is the first time in my solo career where I wrote some songs. I brought them into the band. We rehearsed and arranged them, and they came up with parts that weren't there before, and then we went out and did some gigs and performances, and then a couple months later went into the studio and started tracking the record.
Mm.
And so the songs had the benefit of going through the process of being performed live by a band that arranged those songs. And so the beats changed. Guitar riffs came in that weren't there before. Wayne, the guitarist, is an exceptional guitar player. He has his own band, the Dream Boys. He's bringing in a style of guitar that I can't even really do. It's just, it's amazing. And so I'm really so grateful for having what I think is the best possible band I could ever have asked for. And that I got to capture a bit of that chemistry, and they helped me so much with the way the songs sound on the record. So I'm very, very grateful for that.
How would you characterize the songs that are on Physical World? There's the songs, the kind of images that they evoke are really like vibrant images. They're really strong images, and it changes from song to song, but there does seem to be some themes on the record, and I was wondering if you could talk about them.
Yeah, I mean, when I went to look at it as it was coming together and you start sequencing the songs and coming up with this image for the album cover where I'm portrayed as this cartoon comic book superhero.
Yeah.
And it just fits so well because it seems to be about the balance between reality and the fantasy world.
Hmm.
And I've always looked at songs as a fantasy world that you're creating within the 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and today with technology, we're doing so many things that are just so surreal. You're having like a conversation with 10 different people on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as if we're all in this room together having this talk, but none of us are actually physically together.
Yeah.
And or you're getting to follow someone's whole vacation and you're not there with them in Greece and Italy, but you're following it. And it's just this almost this strange way in which fantasy and reality are starting to get so blurred.
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk about that in that song, Physical World, that really, when it comes down to it, we still are relying on the real, raw, physical world for something that we think of as completely ethereal, like love.
Mm.
But it really does have to do with being physically present and having relationships with other human beings.
Yeah.
And those emotions that you feel are actually part of your brain chemistry.
Mm.
And that's all that's all real.
Yeah.
So it seems to be that there is this theme then about reality versus fantasy.
Yeah.
This on your own planet, physical world, dust in the circuits of love. Somehow it just keeps coming up again, this thing about your fantasies versus what's really going on.
Yeah, and you know, this sort of relates to a conversation we kind of started before we actually started setting up for all this. That when we were having it, I actually was thinking, was like, oh, you know, even brings like another kind of wrinkle to the whole, you know, possibilities of the physical world with this record. And we were talking about just the kind of changes that have happened, you know, especially in our lives. We're both kind of like children of the 70s.
Yeah.
And we have these like really like tangible relationships with the music especially music that we buy, you know, a lot of it on vinyl or, you know, some of it on cassettes and CDs, and how this present era of kind of like digital technology and digital music, just the kind of changes that happen with that and the different ways that people experience things, and how some of it is seemingly it allows for a greater experience, but then some of it seems like it takes away from the experience as well, right?
Yeah, and I loved the idea of calling the album Physical World, because it's both a physical and a digital release.
Mm-hmm.
And this stuff is both ethereal and tangible, and it's a world within the record and everything. So I just liked the imagery that came with that song. And the song was written years ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It was that's one of the few songs on the record that I'd been sitting on for years. I kind of had it in my back pocket. I was waiting for the right time to do it.
I picked a good time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of the songs, and the song that I kind of gravitated to most quickly, it's probably been the one that I've played the most on the show, I think, from the record, and probably spun on my own, like, car stereo, that kind of thing, is a song that this part of the interview, some of the bits will be a little censored so we can talk about this song. But it's a song that's called Fuck Fame.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to talk to you about that song and get a little deeper into what's going on with the song, or the process of kind of putting that song together. Was there a particular experience or some kind of like particular kind of thing that really inspired you to write that song? And it almost has like this real like anthemic kind of quality to it.
I like
and,
that.
And yeah, I was just really wondering where this one came from.
Well, I was singing in the shower, and I just thought of this melody, and then the words just kind of came out, and it seemed to fit the melody, and it just, I don't know, kind of this voice, it was sort of like a Gil Scott-Heron kind of voice or something, that low voice, and I just started saying that, F fame.
Mm.
And as I was having my shower, I just thought of more things to say about that. And I kind of envisioned that the character in the song is not necessarily me.
Okay.
It's just a person that is dismissing fame.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I personally am opposed to attaining some kind of fame or not. I don't know if I'll ever decide whether I want it or don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be mine to have, so I don't know. But I had fun with saying that I don't want it, because that's a whole thing. And I kind of imagined maybe like a room full of really anonymous, regular folks at like the Ivy Room, dancing,
the Bay, yeah,
dancing to that. And that's an obscure reference from the Bay Area. But I saw kind of maybe some kind of slogan for people that just are just trying to live their lives and are rejecting that whole thing that there's all these TV shows where these contestants are going to see if they've got what it takes to be the next American Idol or whatever it is. And, and I there's got to be so many people who don't care about that.
Yeah.
Who just like singing because it gives them pleasure to sing.
Yeah.
And for myself, I'm a professional musician.
Yeah.
I would, of course, like success, and I would like to earn a living playing. So I'm not saying necessarily that I reject fame 100% myself. Yeah. But it's a song that takes that angle.
Yeah.
And I liked the irony that I'm the one who ends up singing it and that I'm the one who has been playing for all these like 20 years and I'm still relatively obscure.
Yeah.
So I do enjoy the irony of that, and there may be a line or two in there where I am talking about myself.
Yeah.
But on the whole, it's really just a musing on a theme more than it is like an outright statement of me, of mine. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's the quality I really like about it, and there are a couple kind of, you know, connections within this career that you've had that, you know, it's not a complete it's kind of like a rejection of fame, but it's not necessarily a rejection of the business of making music or being a professional musician, because that continually kind of comes through that, you know, there's the rejection of fame, but we do need to talk about money, because that's a part of how we live, and we
right,
need,
exactly.
You know, so it's not, you know, just this kind of fanciful kind of idea of, you know, the heroic artists just playing their music as art, but it's also, you know, a lot of people do this because this is how they make a living. This is their business, and it's a vital thing, and it's important to them. The celebrity status, the fame, maybe not so much.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You got it right there.
And it was one of those things that I wanted to pick your brain about, because it's something I've increasingly become interested in this kind of particular era of the connections between the music world and the business world, and especially the advertising world. You know, the kind of, you have had these kind of brushes with, you know, a bit wider recognition with a couple songs that ended up in advertising, which is strangely, maybe not even strangely, but has become, you know, a way for a lot of particularly independent artists to get their music out there and to actually get paid somewhat handsomely for it, in comparison to the old model, which was, you know, make a music video and hopefully people will catch on, and then that will lead to something else. And so I was wondering kind of how that experience, you know, with the song we played earlier, A Young One, and also with the track from Honeycutt that got used by Apple, like how that experience maybe connects to that whole kind of dynamic that, you know, between art versus commerce, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I just increasingly need to pay my bills and to have a life. And this seems to now be one way that artists are able to generate some funding. So, but there are times when I would draw the line.
Mm.
I was offered about 24,000 euros for a TV ad that was a recruitment ad for the Spanish army, which I had to say no.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to give a song to a military organization.
Yeah.
That's kind of a sellout. That's just too much of a sellout.
Yeah.
It's such... And I really needed the money. I was broke. I was like not making the rent on time.
Yeah.
And that happened. And I just remember so many people saying, you just got to do it. You need the money. And I was like, no, I don't have to do it. I was very tempted to do it because, like, I could have used it. But it's just money. And then you do spend it, and it's gone. So I don't know. I think I draw the line at times.
Yeah. It's a weird kind of dynamic, just the way that things have shifted. Because, I mean, like, in the 80s and 90s, like those kind of actions would have been, like, so, like, clearly selling out.
Yeah.
You know? And especially, like, in really independent, like, especially, like, really, like, scene-specific kind of groups. But now it's like you, like, every genre is represented in it, and it really is, in some ways, almost like, you know, it's almost, especially for independent musicians, it seems almost like a way to kind of game the system and kind of get something back that you really aren't able to get from the music industry because of how screwed up the music industry is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. This is America. It's capitalist. And I definitely question the whole system, but it's the system I have to live in.
Yeah.
And we have high art like the symphony, and it's mostly funded by private donations. They're a nonprofit. And the government helps a little with that, but it's not the way. Whereas, you know, in Stockholm, a symphony orchestra doesn't go around asking for private donations so much because so much of it would be government funded.
Yeah.
So we have those sorts of things. In this country, we're just so much more capitalist and commercial in the way we do everything.
Yeah.
So I just want to try and survive, but sure, I'm not necessarily, I don't necessarily embrace the system we have. Not at all.
Yeah.
But I have to live in it.
Yeah. And again, I think that's one of the things that was really, to me, pretty exceptional about the song and just the way that was framed, and certainly why it's one of my favorites of the year, and maybe, you know, like one of my favorites of your career in terms of the things that you've written. Like that being able to articulate that kind of balance and how tricky it is.
Yeah, I just hope that people see the humor in it, that I'm not it's not this deadpan serious statement. It's having fun with the idea of, like, F fame, you know? Let's make some money and then let's go have a few drinks and dance together. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly. Kind of connected to that, what's coming up next for you? I'm pretty sure you're getting ready to leave here and go to Europe, right?
Yes. We're going to Spain.
Oh, very nice. And then are you going to do some more touring connected to this record, or do you have other stuff lined up with all these other projects like Honeycutt and Incarnations or any of that stuff?
All those side projects of mine are not happening at the moment, and there's no Honeycutt or Incarnations or any of that in the foreseeable future. I'm really concentrating on my own thing right now. We're touring Spain right about now. I'm leaving shortly for that. And then when I get back, we'll probably do one and maybe even two American tours, probably on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. And now that you're kind of, or at least in this moment, like dedicated full time to your own music, is it a situation where you're already starting to write other songs? I mean, I know this like record just came out, mm-hmm. you know, a couple mm-hmm. months ago or less than a couple months ago.
Yeah.
But are you already writing more songs and kind of, because one of the things also, you know, you look at this career is pretty prolific in terms of recordings as well, you know?
Whenever I have a big block of spare time, I just try and write more songs, and a lot of them no one's ever going to hear. something you just have to keep at and keep doing it, and also edit yourself and just keep trying to make up tunes. And I hope that this just keeps me busy for the rest of my life. I'd like to just keep trying to learn how to do this and improve on it and I feel as if this kind of song, I know that there are variations and that people hear me as some sort of eclectic artist, but for me, they're pop songs, and I'm trying to make interesting pop songs. And I want to keep trying to do that, and I feel like there's just endless possibilities.
That's great.
With where those can go.
Yeah.
I mean, when you've got all these different chords and different topics, and love is just such an easy one. The breakup songs, the getting together songs, the things are kind of weird right now songs. I mean, it's just an endless source right there. But then there's other things. There's just life.
Yeah.
So I don't ever want to stop doing this. So, but I do feel sometimes a little resentful that I seem to be so caught up in the business side of my so-called career that I'm not giving enough time to one of the most important aspects, which is writing songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I am my own manager. So there I am spending whole days trying to manage this artist. And then I almost forget that that artist is me.
Mm.
So if any managers out there, give me a call, email me. I'm thebartdavenport@gmail.com, and let's talk.
It's been great talking with you today, Bart. I really appreciate you coming in, man. And could we get you to play a couple more songs?
Let's do a couple more songs.
All right, fantastic. We've been talking with Bart Davenport here at KPFK, and we're going to throw it to him for a couple more songs.
Hello, Marigold. My, you don't look too old. Wearing the changes well. Wearing the changes well. It's been forever. Good to see you're still clever. Turning the pages well. Turning the pages well. Hello, closed eye. Nice to see you rest sometimes. Wearing shades inside. Wearing shades inside. Now don't stop doing whatever you're doing. Something's right. Don't stop doing. Step of mine seems so blind. Every other move I try, she won't buy. But I know that I'm true. I believe in the things I do. When we danced last night, couldn't have been more real or right. But now every little step of mine seems so blind. All the writing on a wall can't say it all. So I wait for a sign. Should I persevere or resign? She is all I require. She could fulfill every desire. And yet every little
stumble, see me fall, see me crawl. But I know that I'm true. I believe in the things that I do. When we danced last night, couldn't have been more real or right. So we can take it day by day and be okay. And every little step of mine should be fine. Ooh, 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 ooh.
So a couple more songs from Bart Davenport here on KPFK 90.7 FM and Melting Pot. Thank you so much for coming in, man. This is really pretty special. It was really nice. I really appreciate it. It was great talking to you.
Well, it was great talking to you, too. And, yeah. and thank you so much for letting me come in and play.
Yeah, no, now that we're both down here, we're going to have to do this more often, probably.
I hope so. I hope so. I was like, I think I know this dude from somewhere, but
I know, it's funny.
Put it all together.
Yeah. We were talking about that earlier. It's just how long period of time of kind of knowing us and kind of how weird it is on kind of the ends, both of us with this, it's like, I know this guy, but I don't know this guy. It's like, why don't I know this guy? Like that kind of thing. But now we know. So,
yeah.
So it's nice. And yeah, just thanks again for coming in, man.
Thank you.
So here is the song that we spent quite a bit of time talking about during the interview we just had with Bart Davenport. And it's found on his latest release, Physical World, put out by Love Monk and Burger Records on vinyl, cassette, digitally, and maybe on CD as well. The name of the song, we're just going to call it F Fame, from Bart Davenport, right now on KPFK 90.7 FM and Melting Pot.
I had a little and it went to my head. can live without it. I can live without it. Fame, oh fame. We can live without it, but we should talk about money. Got to be paid for the things we made. We need some money.
I hope you enjoyed that as much as it was to to get that together. Interview and performance, Bart Davenport here, recorded a couple days ago at KPFK. Bart and his band are probably at this point on a flight to Spain, so good luck to them. Big thanks to Mark Maxwell for help on the sound, and always, as always, making things sound extra pretty. And also, of course, Mr. Bart Davenport for coming in. That interview will be archived on our website, meltingpotblog.com, at some point tomorrow. Been a bit negligent on getting the old shows up there, but that's essentially all I'm doing tomorrow. So it'll definitely be there, in addition to the entire show and the last couple of shows and all kinds of other sonic goodies. Be back next week, end of the month, so I'll be on vinyl. And Folk Scene's up next. Until next time, y'all take care. See you when I see you.